B-Pod Studios.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kevin mentioned that we meet JP sometime this week. Aside from the contract, David's in a position where he can, you're talking about a legacy player. So what do you think the landscape is for David in terms of his future with the organization? What can he accomplish as he progresses in the
hospital? As a hockey player? I mean, David can score 50 goals in this league. So he's been a really, really good player. He's continues to be a really good player. He's a superstar in the league, a superstar around the world. And we're fortunate to have him. And we're going to, my meeting with JP and Alish went well. They're going to talk to David and attack it as soon as we can. You know, they know the position of the organization, how aggressive we'd like to be. David has a say in that, obviously. So, you know, we hope the two things align and you move forward in an aggressive manner. You're right. He's a big part of the Boston Bruins, and we'd like to remain that.
Off-season Bruins issues. What will the Bruins do with 26-year-old David Pastrnak? What should they do with David Pastrnak? You just heard from Don Sweeney in that clip. And Don Sweeney says, we're going to attack it. So give it to me.
I mean, hey, we've all had a lot of time off here, you know, since the season has ended. And we spoke with Cam and, you know, the Jacobs family. And we're a first-class organization, and sort of at our wit's end here. You know, we're still hopeful that Berge comes back. You know, he wants a lot more money now. We didn't expect that. We're trying to work with David, and that's how he feels about us. And we have no choice but to sign him. We have to sign him and get Berge back, and then beg Krejci to come back too. And we'll be okay. Man, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. I mean, I know they're going to spin it as, yeah, we want him back. We know what the organization is long term. You know, want to keep him here. Do you? It's going to cost a lot of money to keep that guy here. Like, it's not cheap. That guy's a high-end scorer. When you watch these other teams play, especially at the end of the year.
No, listen. There's no debate.
That
there's
type
no
of
debate.
Talent.
There's no debate about his skill and how good he can be. Do you know what I don't think gets brought up enough, though, with this guy?
What?
The fact that you're dealing with an injury almost every single year with him. Mm. His availability in the playoffs when you get to the end. Can he get to the finish line?
Scary core injuries,
and
too.
So this is why I would ask this question. Can David Pastrnak be a guy you can bank on and count on and have him be the best player on your team on a team that contends for a cup? Can that be the case? Can that happen? And your pause is a pause that I think a lot of Bruins fans have, that they love David Pastrnak. How could you not? How could you not fall in love with the ability and how good he is?
I think what you hope for is for his ability to mature.
But let me give you the future scenario.
Okay.
Marchand's gone. Bergeron's gone. Maybe Krejci, if he is returning. And there apparently, you know, there are news and rumors picking up on that front that Krejci could be back. So if all those guys are back in the short term, and then 3 or 4 years down the road, they're not here anymore. No, Marchand, Bergeron, Krejci. It's McAvoy and it's Pastrnak.
That's it.
Those are your core pieces. And offensively, this is going to be your best player. Can you rely on him? Can you count on him to be there and always be producing at the high level and carry a team?
Yep.
Because if that answer is yes, then yeah, go ahead. Give him the stupid contract. Give him $11 million a year. But I have pause. Where do you draw that line?
I know you have
What's
pause.
What's the line?
I know you have pause in that, but like your job security too. And I know Sweeney got the extension. If you don't have guys like David Pastrnak, you're not getting in the first round of the playoffs. If the gate is that important to the Jacobs family, they're going to over-the-top extend for this guy to make sure at least you have one superstar-type talent here.
And when he's,
I'm not talking this year. I'm talking, like you're saying, you know, 2-3 years down the road.
When he's not on the ice, their scoring issues are even more clear.
Yeah.
And their power play issues.
Brutal. So we know what he means. We know how good he is when he's out there.
That's not the issue.
I don't think that is the issue.
Yeah.
His skill is not the issue. It's, can he be the guy? games played, reliability, available and producing in the playoffs. Those are all real questions about this player. And so I don't know. I think anything over $10 million a year, I'm starting to get a little nervous.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's
because a lot. You're committing a lot of your resources to him.
That's the bottom of the market for him, though.
That is.
Ten plus.
You've always said too, don't hate the market. That type of player, that's the type of money that these guys are getting. I mean, look at the Red Sox and Devers. Like, okay, which team gonna look like 3 years down the road if you get loose guys like Devers, Bogarts, you know? You're going to let those guys, type of guys, walk because, yeah, you don't really want to extend, but you like them. You love them.
Kevin Paul DuPont had a guess over the weekend that it will be 8 years and $11 million per year, 8 for 88, and his...
That sounds high.
Eights obviously have significance to him. You think it sounds high?
I think that sounds high.
I think he could get that on the open market.
Probably can.
He can't get an eight-year deal on the open market.
No.
Right. Well, I'm saying $11 million per year he could.
That's why I took it.
He's 26. That deal would take him until he's 34.
Yeah.
Not even that old by the end of those 8 years. T-Bone, would you give him that deal?
Yes.
Huh. See, there's no delay there.
I would, but that would be the end of the market.
You almost have no choice but to give him that deal.
If it's over $11 million a year, are you still doing the deal? If it's 12, I'm not doing it.
No.
I'm trading him.
I'd do 12.
I wouldn't. Now we're getting stupid.
Then think of all the money you already have tied up.
Here's the other thing.
It's a hard cap, man.
You work around. You trade people. You get around that. You got to hold on to him. You have to hold on to McAvoy. You have to build
second
around
and third
him.
Line.
So this is part of the question. Are they committed or will they be overly committed to the player because of all their other failures in building a roster? Are they in a position where they have no choice because of their own failings?
What's Taylor Hall make right now? Is it a 6 and change or 7? Like, I thought it was higher than what the people anticipated it was for him re-upping.
Six even.
It's not brutal money.
No. So, like, you're talking about, okay, you got to go out and find guys that may have failed elsewhere that were high picks, that are experienced players, but could come in here and play for, what, $4-6 million a year and sort of spot them. See, when you get a guy that's making 12, what are you going to be paying your goalie at that point? When's McAvoy up again? You know what I mean? Mm. You know, thank God you drafted at 4 center. You know, we won't know what these guys are.
Are you ever going to bring a center?
That's
in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you sign a center? They couldn't do that right now if Bergeron and Krejci don't end up here. You know, you don't have enough money to do that. That's when you got to draft them. And that's what I think you're right about, Beadle, is that this team has painted themselves into a corner now where, you know, they're not really sure what they can do. Any other team would say, yeah, obviously, we'll lock up Pasternak, we'll lock up McAvoy, and we'll build around those two guys. But they don't do that here in Boston because they're still sentimental with these old players.
Who's your top two centers right now? Bergeron.
Coyle.
Bergeron, obviously.
Bergeron, well, if he's back. So, yeah, Bergeron and Halla, or Coyle.
See, you're still sitting here waiting, and I know that now all of a sudden Bergeron wants to be paid, wants his money, which I don't blame him. If I'm coming back, I'm not coming back at, ooh, hearted team discount because I'll make one more run here to play with the guys again. No, I sacrificed my body. I've earned my money. That's what my money is. Why should he take a big pay cut to come back?
Do you think the Bruins, well, they can offer more years, so they can try and throw that around.
That's what you could.
Do you think the Bruins will try and use Charlie McAvoy's deal against David Pastrnak?
Yes.
I think they absolutely will.
Definitely they will.
Hey, we'll make you the highest paid guy around. You know, he makes $9.5 million a year. We'll give you, we'll offer you 10 and see where that goes.
Keep going. Keep, no more.
Yeah. Well, statistically speaking, in terms of, I guess, offensive output, it's not exact, but Mitch Marner's deal is just under $11 million a year. Forsberg over the weekend signed his deal. I saw that breaking news, I texted the group right away. I had to get T-Bone's take on it. I didn't think that deal was crazy.
8.5, not bad.
That was very reasonable. I thought, I'm like, all right, that's a fair deal. He's not the player Pastrnak is, but I thought that's a good sign that, like, I know he's going back and it's a re-signing situation, but it's not crazy money.
And he's 2 years older.
Yeah, and he's a couple of years. It's a reasonable contract. I thought maybe the money in this market will be reasonable, given where everything is after the last couple of years and, you know, the COVID and the negotiations on everyone having to get less money, all that stuff. You know, all the crap that's gone on. We don't need to relive it. Maybe, just maybe the money won't get too stupid. I hope that's the case. But my bigger question would be, does this guy even want to be here?
Eight years from now, why would he? Look at this team now.
Does he know if he wants to be here? Do we know if he wants to be here? I mean, there have been reports that he maybe doesn't. I think they got to figure that part out when they go in and attack it.
And hey, the guy's played with Krejci. So he's played with Bergeron. And I think with this specific team, with your higher-end talent, it separates from the rest of the team. I think there are cliques with it. Like, they have their veteran meetings, right, with the head coach. That's how they decided which they're going to play, Tuca, or they were going to play Swayman in the playoffs like 2 years ago. So if these guys have their bitch, meaning the Bergerons, the Krejcis, and the what they don't like or what they see how it's heading or how they see it's heading, why wouldn't that should influence him, right? So he should think the way they think, unless he's his own thinker, which I watch him. I don't think he is.
Let's get to something that did happen last week. That was the update on Bergeron.
Yeah.
And where things stand, and obviously Krejci plays right into that too.
Because when we left, I thought Bergeron was back.
I thought so too. And last week, hearing from Sweeney and Neely, it doesn't sound like he's back yet.
We're working on it.
We'll get to that next.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By the way, Hattie,
He's the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Excuse me if this was asked already. Where do things stand with Patrice and the update?
No, nothing from the other day. As I said, he's gone through rehab. He's back training, indicated in a positive manner. Just, you know, Patrice should be the one to make that statement. When he finally decides to go public with his acknowledgement, he's made real good indications to us that it's turning in the right manner. But until he makes a proclamation, then we'll wait.
Do you anticipate having that decision before Wednesday?
Wednesday, meaning free agency day? Yeah, I think the time is going to wrap around all that stuff.
Same with David. Anything?
I hope so. David's a little more wait and see communication wise, Patrice is just a cut and dried, decision. It won't be an issue of contract. I don't believe. And Krejci is just deciding with his family what's best for him. But there's been a positive indication. It just hasn't gotten to the point where I'm comfortable to say that it's going to happen.
It's all going to wrap around that free agency thing. Yeah. Somewhere around then.
At least they have a coach.
Are you going
he's like,
to?
Yeah, why? What's Wednesday?
Wasn't that ridiculous? Is it going to be figured out by Wednesday? Wednesday. Free agency? Yeah. That's sort of an important date in your business, in your job. Yes, Wednesday's the start of free agency.
You're going to figure out what to do with that free agent?
What? Why are they so bad at doing this?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, you just hired a head coach. I heard a rumor that Butchie played golf with a bunch of players. He was still around, still hanging out with guys. The direction of where this thing's heading and, the delays in things has just not got you feeling great about this team. It's like it feels like it's in limbo still. Like, you don't know how they're going to react to a new coach. You're dependent on veterans that have retired and left and coming back. And, you're crossing your fingers. You could sign your best player, your most talented player. I don't say your best player, but your most talented player. The other players are coming off injuries. I mean, Bergeron still, even if he does come back, Is he going to be ready to go with the elbow? Is that, he should, right? But I'm sure there'll be some delays there. Marchand sure as hell isn't ready
what
to go.
What did we say? What did we say? Right around the 4th of July.
You said the 4th of July? Christ, it's the 11th.
I said they've got to figure out a lot of things. They've got to figure out Bergeron in or out, Krejci in or out. Does Pastrnak want to be a Bruin? It's really not that hard. There's only three things on the to-do list in and around that thing called the draft, which they suck at, and no one expects anything out of their drafts.
Did they really think that, like, the most popular player on their team, the most legendary player, a guy whose number is going to go up in the rafters, is going to potentially retire, but then decide, you know what, I'm not going to retire.
Side note, can I have
but
a side
gonna
note?
But he's going to come back and take less?
I have a sidebar here, if you don't mind. I really enjoyed reading the Athletic's review of the Bruins draft and reading that they don't envision the Bruins' second-round pick as being an NHLer.
Oh, did you think he would be?
I don't even know who wrote that. Their hockey guy, their prospect guy writing about it. I'm like, oh, great.
That's what you look for.
Yay.
I heard Ty Anderson and
it's Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson.
What'd they say?
They did like 2 hours of hockey talk the other day over the weekend. They're like, and Ty's like, man, nobody's going to know anything for at least 4 years on this kid or their draft pick. And that's the way it is. Like, unless you sit there and you watch minor league hockey or the minors and all that, and you know you're into the college game, then God bless you, because there's not a lot of people that are.
I know the kid was interviewed and he said, well, the Bruins have a real solid group there at center, so I don't think I'm going to be breaking that group. And I was like, they do? who are you talking
about?
You're
not better than Trent Frederick?
Come on.
Okay, then.
Well, it's there for the taking, pal.
What an attitude. Great attitude, though, coming into it. I'm not going to make the big club. Not good enough. Oh, okay. Oh, it wasn't that hard.
Got Tomas Noshek up ahead of me there. You know?
Hearing them not have an answer on Bergeron last week was discouraging. That they have no effing clue if it's a done deal, if he's coming back or not. What's the holdup? What is the holdup?
Money?
And if he doesn't know... And if he doesn't know, push him on the matter.
Did they really think like he's going to come back and take less money? Like that player?
Don't be afraid to get pissed off at him. Hey, make up your mind.
We're a week past the fourth here. We got to know. Yeah, you got to know now.
We're trying to build a team. We're trying to put the best possible team together for next season.
They got to know.
Give us an answer and let's get a deal done. Because not only do we need to know whether or not you're committed, we need to know where the money is going to land. Because we need to know where we're at going into this free agency period. Don Sweeney, it starts on Wednesday.
Hard cap.
Starts 2 days from now. It's the day after Tuesday, the one before Thursday, Wednesday of this week.
You think Sweeney comes into work in the morning and goes like into his assistant and goes, hey, check the phones. Is that, get anything from Patrice?
Hey. Messages?
You got any yellow envelopes? Anywhere? He didn't call? He said he was going to call. What do we? I'll give him a couple hours. I'll try calling him. Like, is that the approach? It feels like it is. I'll just sit here and wait for him. Call the accountant again. Find a way to
Wednesday?
Get $3 million.
Wednesday?
Wednesday?
What's Wednesday? Oh, right. Yeah, free agency. Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday?
I'm Ron Burgundy. Wednesday? What? Oh, right. Free agency.
End quote.
Tells you how active I expect the Bruins to be based on that. Like, we don't have any money. We don't have any money. We're not doing free agency this year.
Second that thing kicks off. They're ready to go.
No, we're trying to bring back all our old guys on the cheap. Trying to make you all believe in this thing. Sell you on this idea that we're going to be good. Let's go to Trey in the car. He's got a baseball thought. Trey.
Hi. I had a few tweets I want to read to you guys from. I'm assuming you guys, Jose Canseco.
What?
Old baseball player, Jose Canseco.
Yeah, what about him?
You know who that is? Yeah. All right, I just want to read you a few tweets from him. I just think you'd find them funny.
Okay.
First one is, fell asleep and woke up to 3 female aliens probing me for crypto info.
I believe that is probably a legitimate tweet. I'm guessing that Jose Canseco did tweet something like that. What is the point of reading those tweets to us?
what they probe him with? That's what I want to know.
You know what? I don't know if he actually did tweet that out. Yeah.
I saw something.
He has a lot of tweets about A-Rod.
Yeah, he has a lot. I know that he's tweeted about aliens before.
They found a, what do they call those things? Phallic? They found a large, rather large stone-like one.
Like this one.
Caveman.
Flying to New York this morning, my plane crashed. I was swimming to my appearance, and aliens picked me up. They're going to drop me off of my appearance at 1 o'clock today. See you guys then.
That's a guy begging for attention.
He's, I don't know. I don't see this one about the probing activity, though. John's in the waterfront, it says.
Ooh, that sounds nice waterfront. On a day like today.
Hello, John.
Hi, John. How's your waterfront?
Oh, it's lovely. Nice and sunny. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up something written on Nesson by Morrison about Nathan Eovaldi, a quote he gave from Eovaldi. He said, oh, yeah, I mean, I don't know yet, but I feel comfortable with it, Eovaldi said for Morrison. I know it's been a quick ramp up, but I feel really good. I know what I need to work on and accomplish. I think I'm ready if they say something. To me, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, but that sounds to me like a guy who's good. A little hesitation about getting back in the rotation.
Yes. And the update prior to the game yesterday or last night from Cora. Was that Eovaldi could be activated by the end of the week. And all I thought was, well, that means they're going to ask the player if he wants to get activated this week. And if you're asking Nathan Eovaldi, do you want to pitch? The answer is always going to be yes. And this was a thought I had. I wasn't planning on talking about this. But all I could think was, go back to the World Series in 18. Guy's a lunatic in a good way.
Right.
Why are you leaving it up to the player?
Right. And
is he healthy or not? That should be the only thing that matters in this situation.
Given the concerns, too. Given the concerns of your staff right now and most of the injuries that you have in your pitching staff. And, you know, there you are in the midst of a Yankee series with, Tampa looming, Cell coming back, and the end of the week and the way that's shaping up, and you as the manager sort of still uncertain. I took that as not a good sign for Eovaldi.
He looked good in his rehab yesterday. He hit 97 and really only got squared up one time. It was on a solo shot. He got charged two earned runs, but the other one was on a home run after he came out. But overall, stuff looked good. He got up to 50 pitches, just about, 51 maybe.
They're going to ask him today how he feels. He already said he feels good.
Well, maybe it's the post stuff.
So the answer is going to be, I feel good. And they're going to say, okay, you're back.
Yeah.
Because these young guys we have pitching are not very good.
Right. Give us four innings.
Can you pitch on Wednesday?
Wednesday?
it's a big day. Wednesday. Unbelievable. 617-779-0985. Let's get to the Celtics and some of their activity while we were away, Zoe. What's going to happen going forward? What does this all mean? That Malcolm Brogdon is here with the Celtics? We'll do it next.
What does it all mean?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Opinionated.
Aquarius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What were the first conversations for you with Brad Stevens, Ime Udoka, about Boston, about why they were bringing you in, and sort of the role they expected you to fill?
I had a conversation with Brad Stevens briefly on the phone. We didn't really get into any specifics. We actually were just talking about me going on my Africa trip. I was supposed to be in Africa right now with my foundation, and whether or not I was going to go, when I was going to come up for the press conference. We didn't get into the details of things. And then with Ime, we really just texted. We didn't spend any time talking on the phone. But Brad, I think, did have a conversation with my agent and, you know, talked about me coming into Boston and embracing a six-man role. If I wanted to come to Boston, that'd be one of the things I needed to embrace. And for me, you know, I've made a lot of money. I've won a lot in Milwaukee. I won some in Indiana. But I really want to get back to winning on a high level. I want to win a championship. So whatever I can sacrifice to get back to that championship level, I'm willing to do it and compete.
Malcolm Brogdon talking on the Woj Pod with Adrian Wojnarowski, talking about having texted with Ime Udoka and his agent talking to Brad Stevens about the sixth man role that he claims he is willing to embrace with the Celtics because he is willing to win at a high level. He wants to do it to win at a high level. He wants to be in a good team. Celtics taking on a player in a deal, though, that has real money.
$29 million.
a cap hit of close to $23 million. A little bit off there.
Yeah.
But the Celtics now sort of skyrocket up the payroll list into a top five payroll team and into the tax and all of that. A real trade.
It's a huge trade, by the way.
And they offloaded a bunch of nothing to get him. They won this deal.
Yeah, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop here, so to speak, and nothing. No. Like, wow, he fleeced him. Like, you feel like he fleeced him. Now, I think Brogdon laid it out pretty clearly there. Yeah, I'm going there to be the sixth man. Like, that's an expensive sixth man.
Do you believe him, and do you believe the Celtics?
What about the sixth man?
That's what he's here for.
Yes.
I don't.
Or he didn't put that out there.
I never believe an NBA
team. Why would you say that?
You don't make plans the first week of July. You don't have it all figured out right away.
But if you're Brogdon and you're talking to Brad.
They made this deal before free agency started, before the trades, could get done. Come on.
Well, if you're Brogdon and you're saying, okay, you're going to get traded there, you're wondering, okay, well, you have Jason. We know his role. You've got Jalen. That Marcus Smart guy. Where do I fit?
The Celtics have to cover themselves in the event that they can't make a deal or that they don't land whatever else they're thinking about going after in free agents. They have to cover themselves in the situation where they say, if we're in a spot where we have both Brogdon, Smart, and Derek White, and we've got to find minutes.
Right.
And like
that's,
they've got to cover themselves here, but I don't believe they're done, and I do believe they're in on Durant.
I hope they're in on Durant. That thing has just gone away, right? Like, quiet.
It's quiet right now.
It's quiet.
Windhorst said that the market's not as hot for Durant as the Nets thought.
Which is
a good thing for the Celtics.
Right? I was going to say, does that make it more likely or less likely that the Celtics could get a deal done for him?
I think they've always had the best offer for Durant.
And they always love Durant. I know it's not Danny Ainge anymore, but there's a lot of guys still in that front office that were here when Ainge was here. And I don't know Brad Stevens' specific thoughts on wanting that player, his desire for that player, but I imagine there are a lot of people in his ear that say we should go get
him. But Durant took your pitch at the Hamptons. Like, you were in on him. Like, for everybody that likes to say, oh, he doesn't like Boss, he hates Boss. Well, you had a shot at him.
He was willing to listen then.
Yeah.
It was six years ago now.
He's played. He's won a championship elsewhere. And you swept his ass in the first round with his boy Kyrie. And now he gets to sit back and look and say, okay, look at that team and how they play.
I saw that B-Rob suggested that if there was to be a deal for Durant, that don't be surprised if Brogdon was in it and is out of here and is traded elsewhere. I'm just saying, be cautious. Not everything is figured out yet.
Oh, I believe
they're
that.
They're not done. I don't think they're done.
I don't think they're done either. Did you see that Pritchard thing over the weekend?
What was it?
they're all up watching the summer league games. I guess Tatum was there. Brad Stevens was there. Ime. A lot of the players. Security wouldn't let Pritchard go in the private Celtic area. They thought he was like a fan. One of the VPs had to vouch for him. So Pritchard wasn't allowed in. It was sort of an issue.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like a regular guy. I could see that. When you have a lanyard on, though, those guys, you go in there, yeah, here's a private area. You guys put this on.
Didn't he light up that summer league the year before?
Yeah. That was his gym.
Yeah. All right. Pritchard. So there's that. Let's get to this. A ripping of Malcolm Brogdon. By Greg Doyle. Remember Greg Doyle?
Yeah.
Indianapolis. Guy?
Yeah, he's got to stay relevant.
Had plenty to say about the Patriots in the aftermath of Spygate.
Ooh,
sorry. Deflategate. Sometimes I get my cheating scandals confused when you're talking Pats. You forget which one was which. Here is Doyle on early edition NBC Sports Boston talking about Malcolm Brogdon.
The thing about Brogdon is that on paper, on the surface, he's perfect. Like, you see what he does off the court, leading in the community, and that stuff's real. He does that stuff. So you think he's a great citizen, and then you see the shooting and the assists, the scoring, you think, wow, he's a lead guard, he's a shooting guard, he's whatever you want. And maybe it'll work out in Boston because maybe Malcolm can get through his head that you're number three here. They got Jaylen Brown, they got Jason Tatum. You're number three at best. What I'll say to you is this. The Bucks won a title after getting rid of Malcolm Brogdon. Virginia won a title years later after Brogdon was gone. Brogdon came here and thought he was the man. He was brought here to be one of five really good starters. He thought, and I'm telling you, I've watched it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the game, he wanted the ball in his hands because he thought he was the best option, and he wasn't. So if he can go there and learn and realize that Jason Tatum's number one, Jaylen Brown's number 1A, you're somewhere down the line. If he can be that guy, it'll work out. I'm not sure. A, and B, two, this great citizen got his first two coaches here fired.
Some strong criticism there from Greg Doyle. What about this part about him not accepting the role of being the second or third best player on the team? Forget that. He's not even in the starting five right now.
Right.
If he is, in fact, a better player than Marcus Smart, offensively, obviously, if he is, do you think that the Celtics will treat him that way?
I don't know, because like the first thing
like
that he may
look
said,
at him and say, oh, you're a better player than Marcus Smart. No, they're not going to do that.
No, because of what Marcus is.
Is he better? Going to be considered one of the, in the pecking order, above Rob Williams? No. So he's a role player here. So he's saying all the right things, which is what we played you off the top. Greg Doyle saying, well, this guy wants to be the man.
So what do you say? I made a ton of money. I've won. I want to get a championship.
Wants to be on a good team. Okay. Wants to be on a good team. Wants to win at a high level.
That's like saying
Doyle says, well, they won in Milwaukee after they got rid of him.
I'm giving up playing time to go there.
How about that?
To be the sixth man. Like, that didn't sound right to
they
me.
They won it in Virginia didn't. After he was gone.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's fair, but it's interesting. That wasn't like some sort of hot take there, was it? I mean,
it gets you excited for Celtics season again because it feels like you upgraded your team. Like the two moves they made, and you get a shooter, you know, coming off the bench that just the guy can shoot. Was Gallinari? That's how you say it, right? Gallinari.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. It feels like they vastly upgraded their team, and they've kept all their guys. And they got rid of Tice, thank God.
I'd imagine the Celtics told Brogdon, too. Yeah, you're going to start coming off the bench, but you can take that starting
role. There's a reason that was said, though.
Like, you can win that.
That's what Beetle said. Beetle's sniffing something.
Just covering themselves. They're not done. There's going to be more roster.
It's too moving. Descriptive. Too descriptive.
It's too easy that all of a sudden they make one trade, they add a shooter,
I know
and all
my
of a sudden
role.
They're done.
I must embrace that six-man role when I go there. I'm all in for it. I just want to win.
And so I want to get to more of this. What do you think the move represents in terms of their mindset of this offseason? Also, what Jason Tatum was saying when he was in Vegas for Summer League. We'll get to that coming up with your Celtics calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much more comfortable are you with those type of conversations? Because for young guys, you don't necessarily feel that that's your place. But as you become more, take more ownership of the team, things like that, it seems like you're becoming more comfortable maybe having those talks.
Yeah, you know, I'm invested in being with the Celtics, so... You know, it's myself, JB, Smart, whoever it is, just kind of getting our input on, you know, what we think could help us, you know, get over the hump next year. Things like that.
A'Sherrod Blakely with the question there for Jason Tatum that is invested in being with the Celtics.
That's nice. Now,
I think the question was a little bit of a loaded leading question, wasn't it? It was leading. In that, it was like, oh, you seem more comfortable having those conversations. Like, that indicates that, one, he's doing it.
Right.
And two, it's sort of leading him down this path to give it's a layup for a great quote there. Like, of course. Yeah. Having those high-level conversations all the time.
Whoa.
I'm invested. But I'll go with it. Fine. He's invested in being with the Celtics. You know who he could be? Could be Jaylen Brown, who doesn't seem all that invested in being with the Celtics. Just based on the liking of the tweets.
Yeah, your best player in the finals.
No, they treat me poorly. The fan base, they're so mean. They're so mean to him, they've treated him poorly. Which they really haven't. They
really haven't. I mean, to him, I mean, he's a former number three pick, too. Year before.
Yeah, but the criticism of Jaylen Brown has always paled in comparison to the criticism that Jason Tatum has received when things haven't gone well.
Oh, Tatum got taken over the hot coals. It's
a two-way street on that front. Like, oh, all everyone wants to do is talk about Tatum. Yeah, and when things weren't going well, all they were doing was talking about Tatum.
I think it bothers players more like Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown than it does Jason Tatum, like criticism. Now, do I think Tatum hears it? Yes, I do. But I think those guys just dwell on it. Like, those guys hear it, and it. Certain players need it. There are certain players need that kick in the ass. Like, that's what motivates me. I'll show you.
What do you make of Tatum, period, just going to the summer league games?
There's a lot of those guys. I thought the same thing first. Like, oh, that's interesting that he just picked up and went to a summer league game. Then you find out Ime's there. There's other players there. That Brad Stevens is there.
Fine, all of that.
It seems like a combined Celtic effort. Let's go see our young guys.
Well, Brad Stevens should be there.
Right.
I understand that. But it feels like the whole organization.
Ime being there is not unusual.
Okay. It feels like.
I don't put a head coach or a GM. I don't find that odd.
Feels like the whole organization's there.
Your star player shows up. I don't know. I mean, has that happened a lot?
Probably not.
I don't remember Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett showing up to summer league games to
I think
check
Paul
on
Pierce
things.
And those guys are in different levels of their career than where, you know, 24-year-old or 25-year-old Jason Tatum is.
Right, remember maybe. When LeBron came to UMass Boston and was playing in the
yes.
summer league?
Yeah.
You know who the biggest star who was there was Scal. Scal was playing for the Nets at the time, and I went to one of those games, and everybody was gathered around Scal before he was even like a Boston commentator.
Right,
so they
the
didn't
street.
Have
summer league was right here, though. So.
Shut
oh, yeah.
up.
Oh yeah.
LeBron's rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron played in the summer.
And
league,
anybody
right?
could just go
right
watch
there
him.
On Morrissey Boulevard.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. But there were no superstars there.
No, showing up to watch nobody's really.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
I don't
good.
Know.
It tells you he's a basketball
it tells
guy.
Me he's, it tells me that it, like his actions
that
to
you
me
care.
Speak more than the I'm invested. Like that shows showing up to it. He could be doing anything other than showing up to his summer. I know it's in Vegas. Great place to visit.
I thought he was a big
If he was in Vegas, I wouldn't hold it against him if he didn't go to a summer league game. I don't know. It shows he gives a crap
that's
about
good.
Other things going on with this team.
No, you're right. It's good. It's good.
I'll give him that. Where's Brown?
Now he's hanging out with Donda.
What's he doing?
He's helping
with Kanye.
Helping Antonio Brown's his head guy now, right?
Right.
He's the president, so he's probably chilling with AB.
By the way, Tatum did say that he's still bothered by losing the finals, and he thinks about it every day. That every day it's on his mind, the way that he played and the way that the team lost the finals.
And get rid of Eurostep. Go dunk on someone.
Still bothered by that. Let's go to Gabe in West Roxbury. What's up,
hey,
Gabe?
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Just a quick question. You know, we have the middle-level exception, and I was wondering, do you think we might not use that, and somehow can we fit Brogdon in there? And just one other point. I know this sounds crazy. I don't want Durant at all, but could we, like, package Gallinari, you know, Brogdon, and Jalen for a Durant? Would that sound? I know that probably can't happen.
I don't think you need all that.
You don't want him at all, but you'll trade Jalen Brown?
Yeah.
No, come on. I don't mean it like that.
Well, wait a minute. You just got all these good players. You got two good players added.
It was more of like, do you think they could bring in pieces like a Brogdon and Gallinari?
They did.
And then flip them.
Yeah. Or like.
They can. Anything's possible as long as you make the money match.
Yeah, why not?
All right, and I just wait. Arcand, you got to talk a bit more.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Gabe. Okay. No, so, you come on. Hold on. I'm talking to Gabe.
The part about the the trade, can they fit Brogdon into that? The answer is no. That's over and done with.
And didn't they just use the exception on Gallinari?
Stop talking.
Sorry. Excuse me. He took the mid-level, right?
The taxpayer mid-level, I think.
Yeah, which is like, what was that, 6.9? Do I have that right? Somewhere in that range?
Around that, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around $7 million. So what they do have is the trade exception worth $17.2 million, but that expires in a week. So they've got one more week to use that. July 18th is the date.
Mm.
Is it true if you don't use it, you lose it?
That is true.
It's true.
In this case, it is true.
What day is that, like the July 18th? Is that a Monday? Is that a Tuesday?
It's a Monday. It's 1 week from today.
Thursday?
It's a Monday, Brad.
Wednesday?
No, Don. Monday for that one. Mark, put a circle on the calendar. Circle that one on the desk calendar.
I don't mean it like that.
Come on.
And Arcand, will you talk more?
All right.
Arcand, here's an opportunity.
Come on.
Headlines, do some talking. We're right back.
No Yell at him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over with a tire.
More headlines in 30
it's
minutes.
Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What the hell you play this for? Like, it's a random thing.
You dedicate this to like Mike Reese? Show he'd go to.
Yeah.
Right?
Reese trying to get us to go to Pat Nebitar.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over with a tire.
More headlines in 30
it's
minutes.
Like it's haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What the hell you play this for? Like, it's a random thing.
You dedicate this to like Mike Reese? Show he'd go to.
Yeah.
Right?
Reese trying to get us to go to Pat Nebitar.
Try that one more
time. Pat Benatar. Nebitar is bees and butthead. Right?
Yeah.
Pat Benatar. Reese was going to Pat Benatar, that freak. Reese, another good notes column yesterday. Love his Sunday notes for football. Get you excited. He had a really good vacation one regarding vacations, which is good the week before because he has a 2013 Honda minivan or Toyota minivan. And
that's what he has?
Yes. He had some battery issues in AAA, and he said they're in a pinch and a clutch and can't get that type of service many places nowadays. But, boy, AAA really comes through if you can afford it and just a nice little extra to have. Reese loves AAA.
I would second that endorsement. Of AAA. I would agree with them on that. I needed them last week, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if you can upgrade to Plus or Premier. You're really in business with
That's
AAA.
Nice. Sounds nice.
It's good. Mm. You have that, so?
I don't.
You should get it. Save you a lot of money.
Yeah, my parents used to have it. They used to do the triptych prior to the internet and all that. Remember that triptych? Yeah. They print out your trip and they highlight it and you follow the road. Just go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get to some football this hour and Mike Reese in his notes. But first, let's take this call from Dan in Hingham. He has a question for Milliken. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for Milliken about Xander Bogaerts' status heading into the trade deadline. And I was just wondering if Milliken thinks that Chaim Bloom will move him before the trade deadline, considering that the Red Sox are, what, 14 or 15 games behind the Yankees at this point. Yep. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks again, guys.
Okay, Dan, is that a real call? Is that a real thought? What are we doing here?
No. You have the third best record in the AL and the top wild card.
We're going to actually respond to that call? We're not going to respond.
No, we're going to be nice.
We're not going to do that.
I don't know. Did you see Jeter Downs over
That's got to be a prank call. That's going to be like the guy who called and claimed that Canseco was getting probed by aliens.
I'd love
which I still don't think was a real tweet. I think that guy made that up.
You know how long aliens' fingers are, though?
I don't know. No, I've never seen an alien.
Like all the
I've
drawings,
seen.
Like they're usually really long. They're not little.
E.T. had a long finger.
Oh, that's right.
That is true.
He had those two nubs on the end, too.
Again, that was a movie.
Chris, plus, he had that light.
It was a movie.
It's true.
Mean it like that.
Okay.
Paul Pierce was at the 2003 Summer League. Someone just sent pictures of him there.
That's in Boston, though. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Still there.
Was he there to watch LeBron or his own guys?
Probably to watch LeBron, but he's also did a hit for like NBA TV too. So,
he was working. He was doing media
getting
stuff.
Paid to be there.
But he was on the Celtics at the time.
I know he was. Yeah. Obviously, 2003. I don't know that I want to count that one.
Okay.
Like if the Summer League was being held here in Boston and Tatum showed up, and be like, oh, whatever, it's here.
And them fingers. Josh pulled up Josh Fowler on the simulcast. Look at those.
Don't
suckers.
Want to get probed by that.
Huh? Time for your exam, sir.
John in Bradford. Hey, John.
Moon River. Oh. Hey, boys. How we doing today?
Good. We're all right.
Hey, Zoe, quick question for you. I just heard you might be going to, or possibly going to Pat Benatar. Why the hesitation? I think you should go.
I'm just coming off vacation week, and I'm trying to just recoup and gather myself here as we ramp up
the show. Wait.
I thought it was last night.
I think it already happened.
I think it was last night there, pal.
I don't mean it like that.
Pat Benatar was last night. Reese asked us in a text, do you want to finish your weekend by going to Pat Benatar with me?
And I said, what are you, a crack?
Playing tomorrow night at Hampton Beach Ballroom.
Hold on. Let's...
Now you're going to drive to Hampton Beach.
No, not necessarily.
I want to drive anyway.
Wednesday? No.
So he texted us Saturday at 3:07. Reese was at the
Yankees game on the field.
Reese texted us Saturday, 3:07 p.m., and I apologize to Mike for not responding. because I'm terrible at responding to text messages. He said, anyone interested in capping off the weekend with a visit to see my friend? A friend.
No, wow.
Pat Benatar tomorrow night.
Wow.
And Zoe responded, you on crack? LOL. How was the Sox game?
he was pre-gaming with
Zoe
the Sox.
Zoe texts like he tweets, by the way.
Texts like he talks.
Shut up. I didn't text you at all this weekend.
Oh.
I usually do. Something threatening.
Yeah. All right.
I felt safer.
Did you? He's watching Hardy's house.
We're aware.
Yeah. Almost went over. I think that would upset Hardy.
Well, it would upset Hardy, but not only would you have gone over, you would have had to have gone in the hot tub.
Yeah, then I go through their drawers. That's a problem.
Oh, that's...
What am I going to
not? Don't worry. There's no drawer that hasn't been gone through.
What's she have in the top drawer? You can learn a lot about a person. No, it's really the bottom drawers where they try to hide things.
I don't like sneak it. I like literally rip everything out. So it's just a complete mess right now.
Do you wear her underwear?
First night, T-Bone ransacks the house. It's part of his routine.
T-Bone goes around, gives completely sniff test.
Ransacks the house, and then he spends the next several days putting it back together.
It's like a little scavenger hunt. Where did I put this again? I forget.
Come find me.
It reminds me of the stuff Zoe's talking about, Paulie Walnuts in Sopranos. Rest in peace. Yeah. Tony Sirico passed away. What day was it? Friday?
Wednesday?
No. No, I think James Caan was Wednesday. James Caan was last Wednesday.
Paulie was Friday. Yeah.
Paulie was Friday. Okay, so in a 48-hour period, we lost Sonny and we lost Paulie Walnuts, and this comes only, what, a couple of weeks after losing Ray Liotta. Mm. So I think that's the trio completed. You know, they say death comes in threes.
I think that's your three.
I think that's the three.
That's your three, man.
Ray Liotta died back in May. Does that count?
July, May, June.
It's summer.
Yeah, I think it counts. We're going to count it.
Those are three big, three big Goombas.
But do you remember Tony Sirico when he was sniffing?
It was Adriana.
Oh, yeah. Sniffing the underwear. And Tony went to him and said, "You got to apologize." And he said, "Anything until the day of the wedding is fair game." Because he said, you know, Christopher's going to marry that girl. And he said, "I won't apologize. Anything until the day of the wedding is fair game." Oh, my
God. That's right, because he brought the Christian Louboutin shoes in, right? And like, it didn't fit. It was the wrong size. And then they packed up more, and then he went sniffing underwear.
Jesus. That's not going on at Hardy's house. Don't worry.
But that's why you got to keep Zoe out of there.
Yes.
It keeps Zoe out of there. The hot tub would just be, that would be enough to put Hardy over the edge.
What's in his fridge?
There was a lot of stuff, actually.
Nice.
Hey, we should go over there and film stuff.
No, I don't. I don't think that would be
like a walkthrough.
That would not be.
People would like to see that.
That would not be being a good friend.
I wouldn't do that to him. I'd do it for us. What are you going to do?
It's in good hands.
So off of the Ray Liotta thing.
Yeah.
So if that was way back in May, are we waiting for the third hammer to fall now? Like, if you're another wise guy, like if you're Moltisanti or somebody, you know, like Paul Cicero, is he still alive? Yeah. He didn't move much. He didn't have to. And Chaz Malti, what's his name? Maltier?
Chaz Palmieri.
Palmieri. He's been around. He's been around doing Bronx Tale.
Like Chaz Palmieri is younger than you would think he is.
Oh wow! Yeah, wow.
By a lot.
Let's say 72.
Oh, you're close.
Close. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think most people would be guessing 72.
I would have thought he was 85.
He's 70 years old.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He's been old for 30 years.
No kidding. Like the Bronx Tale was like made what? 90s?
I think 1990-ish.
Yeah.
He was. That means he was what? He's 70 now. Wow.
He was like an old 45.
No
way.
He was 38, 37-ish probably when filming that.
Oh, my gosh.
He's been an old guy his whole life. Mm. His whole damn adult life, he's been old. By the way, someone found the tweet for us from Jose Canseco. He did tweet that April 10th, 2021.
Oh.
Over a year ago.
Back in the archive.
Yeah. Fell asleep and woke up to three female aliens probing me for crypto info. So
that's an odd call.
Back to that odd call.
I hope they didn't invest.
And then we talked a lot before we left for vacation.
What?
The potato salad thing. I ate a lot of potato salad this week.
How was it?
Very good. Actually homemade too. And it kept well outside. In the sun. We didn't leave it out there long.
By the way, quickly, can we get a take on you with the Heinz Field renaming?
Oh, yeah. I got a problem with this.
How pathetic is that?
What's the name of this place?
Acrisure?
Acrisure.
Acrisure.
You know how many hicks in Pittsburgh have trouble pronouncing that? You know, when I get there, week two, we're in Pittsburgh week two, which is great. Yeah, we open up in Miami, then we're at Pittsburgh. I'm going to be like, our booth is right like in that end zone facing the river where the ketchup bottle is, like where all the missed kicks happen from, that open end where like bad things happen. Now, where's the ketchup bottle? You just going to take that ketchup bottle out?
Yeah. Yeah, they can do that.
Teresa Hines cheaped out. Pittsburgh-based Heinz 57. Hey, it cheaped out. That's Heinz Field, man. Now, acupuncture?
Acrisure. Michigan-based insurance brokerage firm.
You're not even Pittsburgh-based.
No.
The hell we want Michigan people? I don't take anybody's money.
Heinz agreed to a 20-year agreement when the stadium opened. for a total of $57 million that worked out to an average of $2.85 million a year.
That's it.
They signed a one-year extension last year when the deal expired because they couldn't get a long-term deal done. And this time, Hines said, we're good. We don't need this. Did you know that SoFi Stadium is getting $20 million a year?
That's what I'm saying. Like that is not a lot for stadium naming rights. 2.8, 2.1
That's because
million?
It was signed in 2001.
Still.
2000, whatever it was. Are you curious to know what...
Like everybody needs ketchup. It's not like, hey, we're not selling ketchup.
I'm curious to know what Gillette pays. What do they pay? What does TD Bank, what do they pay
that's
for the
Garden? Good question. Good question.
Love to know.
$8 million a year for Gillette.
I was going to say right? Between five
is
and
that,
ten.
Is that publicly out there?
According to Yahoo Finance, yeah. Procter & Gamble wins the naming rights.
They're doing well. You need razors.
When?
Gillette Stadium rights cost Procter & Gamble $8 million a year over a 15-year contract, and that was in 2013.
Like, you need ketchup.
They're covered through what?
2028,
that's going forward 15 years?
Yeah. I don't know when it started.
Okay. $8 million a year.
But it's not like the ketchup company was losing money here. Like, you need ketchup. That's a big time for ketchup. Like,
they don't need the advertising. I mean, they're in a league of their own in their department.
That was in
Man, they split off. They're doing like mayo ketchup now. They're doing all these ketchup combinations.
I would argue that Gillette doesn't need it at Gillette.
That was in 2013. So that was part of the 15-year. So probably had 2 years left on the deal at the time.
I think that's
so
expired.
It's probably been re-upped.
It's probably re-upped.
Yeah.
Okay. Acrisure.
Well, I see Bob. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome here to beautiful Acrisure Stadium for another tilt between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots.
Bob doesn't talk like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk football, though. It's a good segue. Let's talk some football this hour. We'll get to the Patriots next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.